There's a Mary Oliver poem called The Journey, which begins, "One day you finally knew what you had to do and began." As we consider how to respond to the changes we neither expected nor wanted, and as we seek to understand the stirrings of change within ourselves, my guess is we might feel envious of someone who knows for sure what they have to do. How do we come to know what we have to do? What kind of knowledge is this? Where do we begin? One day you finally knew. The knowing that Mary Oliver is describing is more than intellectual certainty. Reason may well be involved in getting to that place, but this knowledge is deep down gut understanding, undeniable, just there, something you can't walk around, at least not for long. And then there's that phrase, one day. Clarity takes its own time to arrive, and how frustrating is that? We might have to wait a while, without fleeing that disturbing uncertainty. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. What is it that we come to know? It's not a completed map of the future with every step described and the destination written large and clear. What we come to know one day is what is enough to move us to begin. The Bible is the story of such beginnings. There's Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, setting out for a land he doesn't know, leaving aside the familiar landscape of his life up to that day. Why does he go? Because within himself he knew he must. Where was he going? That was a far harder question to answer. When Jesus was 30 years old, he heard news of his cousin John baptizing people in the Jordan. He knew he must go. What would follow? That wasn't given him to see. What he did know on that day was that he must allow the waters to go over him. And so he began. In our search to understand what's stirring in our spirit and what this might mean for the choices we make and the shape of what is to come, we understandably seek clarity. But what clarity are we looking for? Are we likely to get? The detailed itinerary of our path and where it will lead us? Or that deep down gut knowledge that gives us the boldness to begin? A direction of travel more than an arrival point. When I look back at my own journey, I remember moments of choosing that significantly changed my path. As I describe them, they don't amount to much. At the time, they were big things. A day when I gathered the courage to defy the expectations others had of me and to say no to what was being asked. A day I listened to my conscience and I knew I had to be true to what I felt was right, whatever the consequences. A day I dared to trust the longings, the yearnings of my own spirit, instead of being sensible, realistic and predictable. The day a black man, Patrick Hutchinson, saw a white man being beaten up and stepped in to protect him, carrying him to safety on his shoulders. Have there been days when you knew, finally knew, what you had to do? Then there's another qualitative difference in this way of knowing that reading on in the poem suggests. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. "Mend my life," each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. Knowing what you have to do is different in kind from that familiar tug at the ankles or the cry of voices demanding you respond as they expect. It's different too from that compulsive activity that amounts to a fleeing from uncertainty, seeking refuge in any answer as long as it delivers me from unknowing. Most of us know what it is to be driven by anxiety or an addictive need, or pushed around by voices from our past that linger in our present. There are days when I'm anxious about what other people think of me, when I try too hard to be significant because deep down I wonder if I am significant, when I try and save the world and feel responsible for everything and everyone. Days when I can't stop saying sorry. Sorry, I'm in the way. Sorry, that was difficult for you. Sorry, I exist at all. What are the old, familiar tugs at your ankles? The demanding, diminishing voices that pull and push you around. Maybe you are aware of them now. Old friends that are not your friends, that keep you in another inner lockdown. When Mary Oliver writes of knowing what to do, finally knowing, it's freedom, not compulsion, that is at work. The surfacing of your deep spirit and God's spirit in your spirit. The welling up of love, not fear. The surfacing of who you are, at depth and in truth, and in creativity and with generosity. In this place, even when circumstances limit what's possible, you remain free. There's a link, and it's a strong link, between beginning to know who you are and who you're not, and knowing what it is you have to do. You are not summed up by your unfreedoms, compulsions, needs and anxieties, as real as these might be. You are, at depth and in freedom, what you love to do. What you love to do that also creates life or brings wholeness or builds relationship. All that is original in you, that is a reflection of God's being and God's activity. When we begin to be in touch with who we are, it can be disturbing. I have come, Jesus said, to bring you not peace but a sword, and it can feel like that. The old familiar patterns of thinking and acting begin to wear thin. We might find ourselves angry or frustrated or restless. The real you is pressing through, but you are not ready yet to receive it. Like Jesus in the wilderness, a struggle is going on. There are labour pains. Birth is a difficult process. But staying with the struggle, one day you will finally know, as Mary Oliver describes. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones, but little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognised as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. those last lines, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save, seem to go against striding deeper and deeper into the world, those other words in the poem, into the world where there are issues and pressing concerns and where action is needed, not just words. The lines seem to cut across all that Christian life or the best of human life is about. When the needs within our society are so great, how can a concern to save oneself become a priority? After all, Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? But then, there's paradox here. Jesus is talking about saving your life. And you do this by losing it. Or in other words, daring to live it as Jesus did. Daring to trust what you believe and what you feel at depth and who you are in depth, and daring to express this, whatever fear tells you otherwise. This is Jesus, his own chosen path, and he invites you now to follow him. How will you begin? The resources provided this week focus on exercises around coming to a deeper sense of who we are and therefore what belongs to us to do at this time and in this place. How will you save your life by losing it? How will you live who you are? Next week, I want to look at the broader picture of those changes in the larger world to do with Black Lives Matter, with creation and care for the planet, to do with inequality, injustice, but also looking at ourselves and our changes within the context of our significant relationships and the calls those have upon us and our decisions and priorities. But for this evening, I want to end with a quote from last week's resource sheet from Jerome Nadal, who was one of the early companions of Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits and the author of the Spiritual Exercises. And he described how Ignatius began to follow Christ's footsteps like a pilgrim setting out on a journey. Ignatius was following the Spirit. He was not running ahead of it. And yet he was being led gently where he did not know. He was not intending at that time to found the order. Little by little, though, the road was opening up before him, and he was moving along it, wisely ignorant, with his heart placed very simply with Christ. May God give you the grace of that wise ignorance. May God give us all the grace to know how to begin.